I would call to your attention this morning the words of our text found in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Today I would announce to you that Christ is our sacrifice. And the words that are before us present a particular argument. And that argument is one that is constant in the teaching of the Apostle Paul. You remember that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 and 2, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." This is at the heart of the gospel. Today we're coming to the Lord's Supper. And as we come to the Lord's Supper, we are reminded by the apostle who said that he would come and he would know nothing among us but Christ crucified. We are reminded of what the Lord's Supper is to say to us. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, we are told, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And that's my intention upon every occasion that we come to the Lord's Supper, is to proclaim the Lord's death. That is, to address you on some aspect of the atonement, the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a great many things that could be said about that. And there are a great many things that we will say about it over time. But everything must begin here. Everything has to start with this fundamental idea about the atonement, about the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is this. It is a sacrifice. Now, we live in a time when that idea has been constantly under assault. There are many things that people would like Christ's life and death to be. But one of them that they do not like it to be is a bloody sacrifice. Somehow in our age, not simply among those who have decided that the Bible is not necessarily the Word of God, but also generally in our culture, you see, the idea is that religion is something inherent to us as spiritual beings, and that we may generate of ourselves our own spirituality. And that anything that smacks of sacrifice, and the evolutionary principle, you see, is very much at work here. Anything that smacks of sacrifice is something from the past, some early development in religion that is crude, unhelpful, to many people disgusting, and they think that it is inappropriate for modern man, as they conceive of themselves, to descend to that depth of speaking about blood sacrifice. But my friends, this is the presentation of the whole of the Scriptures, that sin is such a serious matter that it can only be atoned by the shedding of blood. Apart from the shedding of blood, the Scripture teaches, there is no forgiveness of sins. And this shedding of blood must be an appropriate and acceptable sacrifice. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ was not just a tragic end. It was something that was purposed by God and was directed to the Father in that self-offering of the Son as a sacrifice for us and for our sins. And that is the core and the center and the very foundation of everything that is truly Christian. And all of our Christianity flows from it. Everything that we identify as, our whole worship, our morals, our ethics, our prayers, everything flows from the cross, flows from the central truth. Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. Now, what is this sermon about? Jesus is our sacrifice. That's your 1 minute takeaway. Jesus is our sacrifice. And that means I am acceptable to God and I can boldly enter the throne of grace and find help from God in time of need. You have access to the Father. Now, we could stop there. But we shan't. That's the introduction. But the Apostle Paul, you see, that's the argument he's making. That something has happened that has changed everything. And now there are things that necessarily must follow, and there's a whole new condition that pertains and obtains. And I will try to set out that argument. Now, he gives us what we are to do. He says, cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. That's the reason for the command. Christ is our Passover sacrifice, and he's been sacrificed as the Passover lamb. Now, if we don't know what the sacrificial system is, if we don't know what Passover is, that doesn't make any sense to us. You see, we're not just New Testament Christians. Neither was the Apostle Paul. We are those who, what we have to say is founded on all that God has prepared for the great coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember what Passover was. There was the last great plague. The death of the firstborn. But Israel was protected. Why? Because God gave them a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, and the blood was splashed on the lintel and the doorposts. And when the plague fell upon Egypt and Israel alike, those who were protected by the blood were not touched. Their firstborn was redeemed. But in every other household throughout all of Egypt, they all died. All the firstborn died, even down to the firstborn, the slave in the hut, and the donkey in the barn. It was a hue and cry that had never been heard in Egypt. And they drove out the Israelites that night. And they went free on the basis of their sacrifice, the Passover lamb. In preparation for that, all that was leavened in the house, that is, everything fermented to be cooked, was taken away. They didn't have little yeast cakes that they bought at Giant Eagle. What they had was fermenting dough. And they kept it in a lump. Now, after a while, that gets pretty rank anyway. All of that was to be taken out of the house. But it symbolized that all that was old, all that was polluted, was to be removed. There was something new, something fresh that God was doing as he dealt with them. And with unleavened bread, and in that sweat, no root, no time for it to rise. You get, you know, you do the Matt Filbert. You get your sandals on, and you stand with your staff in hand, ready to go. Don't wait for the bread to rise. Unleavened bread. So for 7 days, they had to clean out the house. That's what the apostle is talking about. Clean it out. There's things that have to be removed. Why? Because there's been a once for all sacrifice that's changed everything. And we're not those who are the old lump. That's been taken care of. The sacrifice has been given once for all. And now the new has come. Clear out the old, because the new obtains. That's what's in force. You're celebrating the festival. That's what the new, this is the day of salvation. That's what this is all about. We're not waiting for Jesus to save us. We're not waiting for God to come and forgive us for our sins and make forgiveness possible for the world. We're not waiting for a day when we can be sanctified by the grace of God. We're not waiting for a time when we have ready access to the Father. Today is the day of salvation. All who call upon the name of the Lord God will be saved. And there is not to be the old leaven of what? Well, verse 8 talks about that. Old leaven. The leaven of malice and evil. You see. That wickedness is another translation. That glee in rebellion and doing that which is wrong in the sight of the Lord. That's what marks our time. And what happened to Israel? God said, I'm going to make a distinction between you and the Egyptians. And it will be plain who I favor today. Why? Because they were covered with the blood. Not even a dog will bark against you. So I have shown what the distinction is. So, therefore, the old leaven must go. Sin, malice, evil. What's it replaced by? What now is brought to us in the day of salvation on the basis of that sacrifice? Sincerity and truth. We could say it in a word, holiness. The words speak of that which is clear. Sincerity comes from the word that's clear. Light shines through. It's pure, clean. You hold a glass of water up. If it's cloudy and you see things swimming, I suggest you don't drink it. We used to run it through a strainer and then boil it, because all our water looked like that when we were missionaries. But I suggest if it comes out of your tap that color, don't drink it. See, that's not pure. It's there's something wrong with it. And a person who is pure and sincere and solid. See, that's what's being talked about here. The old is fermenting. And you'll notice that the apostle has done in this passage something that he continually does. He starts out with a specific situation and moves to a general principle. There's been sin, immorality. That's what he's talking about. Get rid of that. And if you have to discipline the person, remove him from you. And he says that so that, as a matter of fact, they can cleanse out the old leaven, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Sin is not a victimless crime. Sin is against God. But any least little sin that you harbor pollutes, is connected to something else, erodes your ability to recognize and deal with sin, steals joy, perception. The Puritans had a beautiful approach to sanctification. What do you do with sin? Anytime you recognize it, kill it. It's called a universal opposition to sin. You don't choose one and say, I'm going to work on this one for a while. Because it's like gnats and black flies in the woods. Killing one is not going to solve the problem. They're going to get you from behind. And that's the way sin is. So you have to get out all the old leaven. Because we're a new lump. He doesn't say you'll become a new lump when you do that. Because you are a new lump. Why? Because Christ is our Passover offering. Once for all. Done away with sin. And now we walk in newness of life. In other words, our ethics, our morals, our sanctification, our whole course of life comes from the cross. And today we're coming to the Lord's Supper. And we're going to receive the Lord's Supper that we might remember this very thing. And the reason that you're to prepare and repent and come to this table is to clean out the old leaven, because you are a new lump. And a whole new condition obtains. You are celebrating the festival. That is, the sacrifice has been offered. The house has been cleaned out of leaven. And what do? You're free. You're now part of the assembly of God. And the slavery that was yours in Egypt is over. And you have now entered into the freedom of the sons of God. That's to be our whole mindset. And as you come to the Lord's Supper, you know the things that don't belong. You know the new fermentation that is there to spread and infect, and you know what needs to be gotten rid of. I don't know. But as you come to this supper, you know. You know you, and you know your heart. And you know, if I said, what is it right this minute? Don't think about it. Don't try to cover it over. Don't camouflage it. Don't spray air freshener in your heart and mind to kind of mask its odor. What's festering there that you've got to get rid of? And every single one of you, as I've said that, know exactly what it is for you in your heart this morning. You know what you need to confess, what you need to get rid of. I don't know what it is. But it's my responsibility from the Lord Jesus Christ to say, get rid of it this morning. Confess it before the Lord and come to the Lord's Supper. And remember, you're a new lump. And you can celebrate the festival of the freedom of the sons of God and enter into your inheritance. Now, walking with God through the Lord Jesus Christ under his lordship. What is a sacrifice? Why is it important to start here and say, Jesus is our sacrifice? Because that's what this passage says. It says it with the imagery of the Passover sacrifice, which reminds us of the Old Testament. And he repeats it. You know, he could have just left it there. The Apostle Paul was Jewish and he spoke Hebrew. And Hebrew likes to say the same thing in a different way more than once. And if it can do that, it's happy. That's the way Hebrew is. It's a very concrete language. In fact, things are negated by saying them twice. No, no. We do that with our children, right? If it wants to be emphasized that it's good, you don't say it's very good, you say it's good, good. Reminds me of a lady in my first church. She would say, how's the pie, Steve? She's the one that made me look like this. I would go pray with Mrs. Prinzenhoff, and she wouldn't let me go unless I had a whole big plate of ice cream and two or three different samples of her recent baking. And she was a good baker. And she would say, is it excellent good? I'd say, good, good. Well, that's the way it is in Hebrew. But Hebrew is never satisfied with just two. They like two or three more times. See? But that's what Paul does here. He says in verse 7, cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened, for Christ, our Passover lamb. He could have stopped right there. He could have just said, Christ is our Passover lamb. That means he's our sacrifice. He's the one whose blood is for us and for our protection. But he doesn't. He adds the fact. In a verb, he says, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been once for all sacrificed. And now that's what works for us. That's what establishes our circumstances. What is a sacrifice then? First of all, it's something that's offered. A sacrifice doesn't just happen. It's commanded to be offered, and therefore it's something that's brought. It's brought, and it's costly. The blood of a lamb that's precious, unspotted, because it has to cost something. That first ram that's born, and you say, oh, this is going to be a good flock. That's the best ram that my flock has ever produced. That's the one you're supposed to give to the Lord and trust on his blessing in the Old Testament. But it's to be slain. You don't get it back. And that's because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sins. And that becomes the basis for an appeal to God. A sacrifice is an appeal to God. I don't know if you realize it, but the only reason that you can pray anywhere you are, in any direction you may be facing, and the only reason you can pray at any time, upon any season, and offer yourself into the courtroom of our Heavenly Father, as the cherubim cry out around the throne, glory, glory, glory. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God of hosts, all the earth is filled with his glory. Is because the sacrifice has been given. And your appeal is then offered by the one who offered that sacrifice and brings you into the presence of your Heavenly Father. And when you come to the Lord's Supper this morning, you need to remember, if I'm asking for the forgiveness of sins, I can only make my appeal if I believe Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. I can only make my appeal through what he's done once for all for me. And then it's protection. They weren't destroyed with the Egyptians. Why not? Because God was satisfied. The older theologians didn't talk about the doctrine of the atonement. They talked about the doctrine of the satisfaction of Christ. He has satisfied the Father. And so, not only has someone given the sacrifice, but someone receives it. And so, when you do not die for your own sins, it's because the Father has been satisfied. And there is nothing wrong with a religion that seeks appeasement. That's considered today to be crude and ugly and primitive religion. But God has been offended. Sin is against God. That's one of the sources of the fear of God. God's wrath is all around us. We live in an immense and increasingly overcrowded cemetery. The ground is full of Adam's children. But heaven will be filled with the sinlessly perfect, redeemed, uncorruptible, immortal children who Jesus says, and my brothers and children of the Heavenly Father, purchased to that freedom. That's our identity. That's where we're headed. This is the day of salvation. God is satisfied. And he accepts you only for what Christ did. You see, if Christ is our sacrifice, then you are not heard for the sincerity of your groaning. You are not even here. You are not even heard in the throne room for the character of your faith. Your faith connects you to Jesus. The only thing that makes you acceptable to the Father is the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, our sacrifice. But that being the case, your salvation is entirely provided by God, and you don't need anything else. You're to come to the Lord's Supper, and the old leaven is being cast out. Why? Because you're a new lump. What does that mean? You're as righteous in the sight of God today as you will ever be. Because you can't add a whit to the glorious righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our sacrifice. And you're accepted by God as righteous in his sight. All that Jesus purchased. And that's part of what a sacrifice does. It purchases us a new relation. It establishes a connection and an acceptance that goes on in a new situation. And that's your situation today. I'm accepted by God. I have an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not pass away. I have immediately access to the Father. I've been accepted. And now on that basis, I'm being dealt with by the living God. And then at last, in that ongoing condition, I have an unalterable progress. I may fail a little bit. I may have to be disciplined by the Lord when I sin. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. But you, if you are a true believer, if Jesus Christ has died for you, you are going to gain glory. You are going to obtain. You are going to arrive at all that Jesus purchased for you. And part of what he purchased for you was the Spirit of God, his presence with you, your perseverance unto glory. He's going to bring you into the promised land. Do you see why it has to be a sacrifice? None of this is true if Christ is not our sacrifice. What do we do then? Enter boldly to the throne of grace. Not because you have anything to offer. Not because you're good. Not because you're sincere. Not because you're such a strong believer. Not because we only sing psalms. Not because that was true of our grandfather and our great-grandfather. It's because Jesus has made our access. And he's perfectly acceptable to the Father. And through his living mediation, we come and are acceptable. Christ is our Passover lamb. And then what do? We live clean. Say, I'm not clean, Pastor. And I don't have a clean conscience. You come to the Lord's Supper, you confess your sins. God is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you leave here just like that glass of water. You can hold up your heart, you can hold up your mind, you can hold up your soul before God and say, look, no impurities, sincerity and truth. And you go believing and you go living. And believe me, when you know and feel that, you won't leave here and want to live in any other way. When you can look at your soul and say, look what God did to me. See the light shining through, clean and pure. Do you want to see it all cloudy and full of little swimming things anymore? You see, assurance and confidence in our Savior doesn't lead to licentious living. To going out in license. Oh, now I can go and do what I want. Because now we treasure what we never thought we could have. And we want to keep it so. And that's part of the results of coming to the Lord's Supper through Christ our sacrifice this morning. Can you come in that way? Purge out the old leaven. You're a new lump. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Jesus is our sacrifice. And so we can come through him. Be done with it. And come and know that purity. Live under the sunlight shining through your clean conscience and your purified soul. And feel the warmth of the shining of the smile of your God as you live in this world. And all the moans and the groans and the sorrows and the loss from this vast cemetery through which we walk on our way to glory rises up around us. And what do? We sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, rejoicing in our Savior and giving thanks to God. We are not those who are bound up in the slavery from which we've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We are living in the freedom of the sons of God, and the living Christ who saved us is our sacrifice. And upon every occasion that we come to the Lord's Supper, some aspect of that is what I will set before you for this very purpose, so that you can go from this place every time you receive the Lord's Supper and know that freedom, that cleanness, that purity, that sense, I am going to treasure this purchase and live for my Savior in the delight of my God. And I will delight in him, and I will know his delight in me. And I will sing his praise. Christ is our sacrifice. Let us sing to God Psalm 40A. Psalm 40A.